What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Pillow Talk with Paul Ganeau. Today, my guest is wrestler Jackson Roy.
What up, what up, what up? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Glad to have you. We had one other Dynasty member. I don't even know if you Dynasty was together, actually, when I had Mikey on. But he was the second episode. And
I don't know.
I'd like to get you two on at some point together.
Of course,
you
know? That'd be dope, man. That'd be dope.
Yeah. When did Dynasty form?
That's a good question. Good question to start off. Dynasty actually started about last November, around that last November. Me and Mikey were actually just having a lot of conversations about doing a tag team thing because we used to just train for hours. We used to train for hours together. And with just both of us like coming from like the same background in the Caribbean culture, we're like, what if we could like do some type of like tag team thing, you know, like work as a tag team or whatever. He kind of already had an idea of Dynasty, like working with his video games. Like he does video games and like a lot of like car wrestlers and stuff like that. So he kind of got the idea of doing a faction. But he just needed to know like who would be a right fit in that faction. Mm. So me and him were already having these talks already. So he just immediately chose me as his first member. And yeah, we just decided to do that thing. We also had Sway in mind. He also comes from a Caribbean background. And just with him being like a veteran at Battle Arts, it just was a perfect fit to have him in there kind of like giving us guidance. So that's kind of how it all came together. And then we debuted at our first Rising Star show. A Storm Is Coming in December. We debuted the team and then we've been going strong ever since.
And so those are the three official members, because I know at the last OTT event,
yeah,
you guys came out with Xavier.
Yeah. We came out with Big Flexi. We came out with him. That kind of started at the first OTT show they had. They had Mikey come out with him, and Mikey was kind of being his manager type of thing. And we're like, hey, how about at the next show, you know, maybe there could be something that we can do to have him in Dynasty. And it kind of all aligned because Xavier actually messaged Mikey and it was like, hey, how about at the next OTT show, the show that we just had, how about you come out with the Dynasty flag? And then Mikey told me that. He's like, hey, Xavier wants you to come out with the Dynasty flag. And I was like, no way. So we're like, this is definitely gonna happen. Like, he's gonna be like some type of honorary member of Dynasty.
Yeah,
so
like a Mike Tyson kind
was
it, D-Generation X, I guess.
Exactly, yeah, kind of like a here and there member of Dynasty. But like, yeah, he said to come out with the flag. And then Big Zay did me a solid. He's like, hey, I want you to come out with me too. I want you to come out with me and we're gonna do this whole thing and, you know, actually be Dynasty. Like, and, like, that was just dope for him to do that for me. And yeah, he's a part of Dynasty.
Yeah, that was a great event.
Yeah.
Like, the thing,
it was fun. Like, you know,
I had a lot of fun, but like there were a couple times, and like obviously it's different for us, but there were a couple times that like two, I think I did four matches, I want to say.
Yeah.
And there were at least like two of the matches I just wasn't happy with.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And like one part, I think after talking with my like my friends that were there,
yeah,
like they just thought it was like a work. They didn't know, yeah, they didn't realize it was a mistake. So like on some level that made me feel a little bit better. Yeah. Just a little bit though. Okay. Like I still know that it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it still kinda ate me up. But then there was another time that has just been I feel like every show I make a mistake, and then the next show I'm so focused on not making that mistake that I make some other mistake because I'm narrowing my view on not doing this one thing that I fucked up last time.
Exactly, yeah.
But it kind of leads me down to a road where I'm like, well, like, it's like, the more mistakes I learn, the more I know what to do in those situations mm-hmm. next time. Mm-hmm. But fuck, it yeah. hurts, dude.
It's tough, yeah.
How do you deal with that shit, like, in the ring? Like, say your first spot just yeah. is shit, or, like, you know, at the beginning of the match, something happens, and you're doing, like, 10 minutes.
So, the best thing to do is just, like, don't show that you fucked up, right? So, we always, always, always have to communicate and just get to the next spot. There's no pauses, no nothing, because that's how you're going to show that you fucked up. If you fuck up, and you show it, the people are going to know you're going to fuck up. You fucked up. So the best thing to do is just to get to the next spot. Communicate to your opponent, get to the next spot, and then you'll be fine.
Are you hard on yourself after the match?
Yeah, in the beginning I'll be like, ah, man, that could have looked better. I could have did this. I could have communicated more. But after a while, you just have to remember that, you know, you're not perfect. You're always learning.
And it's just the beginning, really.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You know, you're just learning and, like, you know, just take it as a lesson and try to just do better next time. That's the best thing you can do. You'll be hot at yourself for a minute, but then afterwards you get in the back, talk to some guys, maybe talk to the coach for some advice, and then he'll just set you straight. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's something I've dealt with, like, in the comedy world as well, but because I've been doing that a bit longer, I feel like I've been able to shake that off a little bit. But, like, in the beginning,
yeah,
I would, like, go to do whatever open mic or show, and, like, if mm-hmm. shit just didn't go well and I bombed, you know, I just, like, I'd peace out, like, right after my set, yeah. you know, and just be like, all right, I'm out.
I'm
and
out
I'm
of
like,
here.
You know, I don't drive and shit, so I'm, like, yeah. taking an hour and a half bus ride home, man. Just, like, dwelling, just hating myself, like, why do I do this? And then, it's like you that, know, but the good moments make it worth it.
It's like that 8 Mile moment when he choked on stage and you just, like, leave. You're like, oh, my God, I hate my life. I'm out of here.
Oh, you know, man, I've never had, like, a really, really bad moment like that. And
yeah?
I'm glad, but I definitely, like, bomb.
Oh, man.
You know, it happens.
It happens,
often.
Man. It definitely happens.
You know,
yeah.
but I feel like it happens more when I'm working out new shit.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just hate when it happens at, like, a paid show. If I'm just doing, like, some yeah. sort of free thing and it's all right, you know, because, like, nobody paid, you know what I mean? At least it's not that bad, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough.
Can't really do that in the wrestling world.
No,
I feel like.
No way.
You know?
Yeah, man.
When did you actually start? Like, what got you into wrestling in the first place?
Wow. So I'm just kind of like everyone else. You grow up watching wrestling as a kid. You know, I was probably 5 years old when I first tuned into wrestling. I was flipping through the channels. And I was, like, the kid that, like, you watch the Dragon Ball Zs, you watch the Power Rangers, you know, you watch all those, like, cartoon fighting shows, right? So when I tuned into wrestling, I was like, wow, these are real people actually fighting, you know? This is cool. And so I first started watching in 2001. Mm-hmm. It was still WWF back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what is this? What is this? What is this guy throwing this guy through the table? What is all these crazy moves? You know? So I tuned in and I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is something I've never, like, seen, like, in, like, real people fighting.
Yeah, UFC and stuff wasn't, like...
It wasn't as popular back then. It wasn't. So it was just, yeah, I didn't know, like, it was Monday Night Raw. I didn't know it was called Monday Night Raw or SmackDown or anything like that. I just knew it was just wrestling. And obviously, I'm 5 years old, right? So, like, I'm just tuning in whenever it's on. I'm not staying up to, like, 11 o'clock at night watching Raw. So, I got into it just like that. And then I go to school. Like, as I'm growing up, I'm going to school. And, like, I meet up with friends who are also wrestling fans. And we are huge wrestling fans.
Hmm.
Like, when I was a kid, like, do you know, like, those binders where it's, like, they have, like, the lamination, like, you just laminate it and you can put stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so me and my friends literally used to, like print off wrestlers and just put it in there, and, like, that would be our binder, and we'll walk around and we think we're so cool and stuff like that. We used to wear all the wrestling shirts and everything to school. We actually got in trouble for wearing wrestling shirts because they didn't like how, like, they had, like, these half-naked guys and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah, eh?
Yeah, like, I had, like, Rey Mysterio and a Batista and stuff like that.
That's wild.
So, yeah, we were just super fanatic fans, birthday parties, wrestling, doing all that crazy stuff at birthday parties. But yeah, I just loved WWE. I grew up watching TNA as well. And then eventually when I got into high school, I started amateur wrestling. I knew growing up, I seen guys like Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin. I saw those guys come from like the amateur backgrounds. So I thought like that was a way to get into WWE. So when I went to high school, I was like, okay, I'm going to join the wrestling team because this is how Kurt Angle got into WWE. You know, he, like, I thought, like, you would start off in amateur wrestling and then get signed to WWE. Like, I was, like, that gullible thinking, like, the stuff, shit like that. So I got into amateur wrestling in high school in grade 9. And then my first day, I got to the gym and I said to the coach, I was like, hey, you know, hey, I want to do pro wrestling and stuff like that. So, like, where's the ring? And da-da-da. I was kind of joking, but still kind of, like, serious at the same time. I was like, where's the ring? I was like, he's like, Corey, or Jackson, sorry. Jackson, there's no ring. There is no ring. This is amateur wrestling. You're going to work on the mat. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Let's just see how this thing goes. And I did it for about 5 years. Like, actually, all through high school, I wrestled. I won a couple of tournaments. I wrestled in city championships when I was in 11th grade, I believe. Wrestled at city championship, placed there, and then eventually went to OFSA, which is, like, basically provincial championships.
I know it for, like, other sports, but it figures that they would do wrestling as well.
Yeah. So... yeah, it was a journey, and I loved it. I love amateur wrestling. Like, just the discipline it teaches you and just everything it teaches you about hard work and dedication, determination. Like, I just loved everything about it, and I still do it to this day. I still train in it sometimes when I have time to do it. But yeah, I just always loved that combat sports. I love combat sports.
Me too, dude. You know, that's pretty much all I watch.
Yeah.
You know,
like I was like never good at like the other sports. Like I did soccer, I did basketball, but like combat sports was always my thing. Like I always felt like I was meant to do combat sports. I even did karate at one point, when growing up, I did karate. I did a little bit of boxing, but wrestling was mostly, like, the thing I stuck to all through high school. Like, high school for me was wrestling. It was wrestling first, and then, like, academics second. So.
Yeah, when I was younger, I did taekwondo for about 3 weeks.
Nice.
And at the time, I feel like it wasn't good for me. Mm. And I kind of have a joke that I do now, but... yeah. That's like around it.
Yeah.
But so I was, I guess, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Did taekwondo for about 3 weeks, and my ego got really big. And just going to school, and you know, just being kind of a dick. Like,
right.
Like who's the dick in Karate Kid or Cobra Kai or whatever? I was like. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy you wouldn't want to cheer for. I just going to school. And I didn't know shit.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Go to school and be like, I fucking know taekwondo now, and I will fucking end you. You know?
I mean...
and I didn't do it at all since, like, or after the 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was kind of good at the time. I started doing Muay Thai a few years ago.
Yeah.
And, really enjoyed that. You know?
Yeah, it's like it's combat sports is just really just like it just teaches you a lot of discipline, teaches you like how to even just how to defend yourself, which is also good because in the world we live in, it's crazy. You never know who's, you know, trying to do something to you. So if you have some type of combat sport in your background, it's good.
Yeah, it's something that like I just when I was thinking about, you know, working out and shit, like I don't not necessarily don't want to be bigger than I am. Yeah. I would like to have my arms maybe a little bigger, but I'm not also trying to, like, I don't care about getting big. I just, yeah. I'm just doing, like, the Muay Thai for, you know, the health.
Exactly.
Yeah. And staying fit. And yeah. I also, like, kind of just generally have, like, a thirst for knowledge, especially now that I'm old enough where I can actually, like, pick the things that I'm learning. Yeah. I can actually learn about things that I'm interested in.
Good.
Like, yeah. It's a lot. Because, like, in school, dude, mm-hmm. I like, it took me, like, 5 years to graduate high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did summer school every year, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And then cue to eventually going to college for culinary, which kind of was, like, the first time in my... Bro, when I say my entire life up until college, I mean the first time in my life up until college,
yeah.
I studied, dude.
Wow.
Like, college just, you know, and then the learning kind of took off from there. I eventually, like, went to Second City, took some, like, stand-up classes there.
Yeah, it's nice.
You know,
nice.
I did, like, two levels there, and, yeah, now I'm kind of doing the reffing, and it's, like, everything is just kind of...
That's dope.
Fitting in place, like we were kind of talking about, like my 9-to-5 before,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like when I was, because I've been there for maybe a month and a half, 2 months, mm-hmm. somewhere around there, and everything, like I just needed something to fit my comedy schedule mm-hmm. and the wrestling, so mm-hmm. it's like weekends and evenings,
nice,
can't
nice.
Work, you know, yeah. And like. Don't get me wrong, I definitely know people have been in, like, the culinary industry longer than me, but, like, I yeah. paid my dues to some degree, and, like, I wasn't yeah. willing to, like, I'm not working split shifts, and I'm not yeah. fucking, I'm not doing evenings, and, like, I just, I can't work weekends, because yeah. I usually have, like, shows on yeah, weekends, you,
gotta
balance you know,
it
so.
Out. You gotta balance it out.
And they fit sure. it, mm-hmm. and now every, it's like, I don't think I could take anything, like, my plate is full right
yeah,
now, bro.
Man, yeah.
You know? And it's weird to think that some people don't even have, like, you know, anything. Like, some,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly, you know? Like, some people just, like, they just don't, they're not doing anything. And it's like, how?
And don't get me wrong, I have a lot of respect for people that work to pay their bills. Yeah. And there's a lot of, like, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody that fucking just works hard and is doing what they have to do to, yeah. to get by. But it's like... You gotta find something you gotta that you enjoy waking up for
exactly.
every day.
Exactly. And I tell it to my friends all the time. Like, you gotta, like, have your work life, but you also just have to have something that you can, like, sink your teeth into. Something that, like, you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you love to do. And for me, that's wrestling. Wrestling just is definitely one of my passions. And aside from anything else that's going on in my life, like, I just know that I always have wrestling. And... You know, it's something that I'm happy to, like, wake up and be like, yeah, I can go to wrestling practice. I can even just, like, you know, practice amateur wrestling at another gym that I go to. Just wake up and just have something that you love to do.
I feel like even that mindset that you had, you know, when you were in high school and you were kind of a little naive of how things work.
Yeah.
I don't think you were wrong. I just think you missed a lot of the stuff. Or all the stuff in between.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I mean, because look at you now, dude. And
yeah.
You know, it's...
It's crazy.
It's just the beginning, I feel like. How long have you actually been training, like, the pro wrestling and battle arts?
So, I'll start off like this. I started training at battle arts in November of 2020. So,
okay.
This is, like, during, like, pandemic times. Mm-hmm. like the whole on and off, like, oh, we're open, oh, we're closed, you know, is during that time. So they actually posted a free trial for anyone to train in pro wrestling for 1 week. I hopped on right on that, and ever since then I've been training. So I started training in November of 2020. The pandemic happened, like, literally 2 weeks after that, so I was like, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now what? So that happened. We came back in July of 2021. I just continued training, working hard. And yeah, I would say for about almost a year now, I've been training and just going hard, going to practice 4 days a week, sometimes 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
staying afterwards and just doing drills, working on moves, adding more moves into my repertoire, working with Mikey.
Promos,
learning from him, showing Mikey some amateur wrestling stuff. Mikey showing me some, like the other day, he was just showing me, like, this whole Japanese drill that they were doing where like you have to like tap their leg and then sprawl back. It's like, it's a really good cardio drill. And I was like, geez, where are you learning this thing from? Like, I can't do this. Like, but like, it was still like a good cardio drill for me. So I'm learning things from like so much different people. Mikey, I'm learning stuff from Isaiah as well. He's a big help for me getting better in the ring. Nick, of course, Rob, Nick Stone Rockwell, Rob Silk and Stone, tag team there. They've been helping me out a lot. Obviously, Anthony Santino Morella, great coach. I love his classes just because like we do that shoot style, that judo amateur wrestling style. So we do that. So I learned a lot from him there. And yeah, just learning a lot from a lot of coaches there. So it's been about a...
There's a lot that goes into wrestling that I think people on the outside, even me, bro, yeah, like, even for, like, the what the ref has to do and what the ref is responsible for, yeah, you know, like, I learn more about that and, like, see,
yeah,
you know, what the wrestler is doing and how much goes into it. And yeah, I'm like, oh, man, like, I don't know if I can ever be a wrestler.
It's a lot.
I respect it so much, but I just... And I would like to do maybe one match.
One match, yeah.
You know, in my life, yeah, but, like, I just don't know,
man. Yeah, the referee...
At the very least, somebody put me through a table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like, refereeing, like I was talking to Harry D the other day, and he was just telling me, like all this stuff they have to do about, like, that stuff that goes in, that gets involved in, like, refereeing. Like, my God, like... He said, like, there's times where, like, he has to, like, look at his foot, look at the time on his foot, like, just to know, like, what time is it during the match, and just, like, match cues and stuff like that, time cues, sorry. And, like, so much shit goes into refereeing. I was like, wow. Sometimes, like, I don't even think I can do refereeing.
Because oh, it's so easy, bro.
I just feel like...
Easy compared, I mean... I don't want to act like it's so easy, but yeah, it's easier than what you're doing,
I think. Yeah, I understand that, but it's just, like... Like, being in position, knowing when, like, you know, where to be, and, like, oh, man, this is, I feel like it's a lot, but,
No, that's
compared,
it.
You're right, compared to actually, like, being in the ring, and...
I think the main thing for me is what I've learned over and over,
yeah,
I think, is super communication. I have to be, regardless of whether people are coming out, I need to ask the questions, or else... These things are going to get skipped. And if there's an important spot and I don't know it, like, there's very high probability I could fuck the match up, you know?
Damn, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
But that sucks that you kind of started in the pandemic time. That's how I did the Muay Thai.
Yeah, man.
But, like, it seems like Battle Arts didn't go the way of... And I'll talk about it now because I'm not there anymore. Yeah. But the place I was at was just, like, they were doing shit anyway.
Oh, yeah.
They like, taped up bags over, like, every window and, like, cardboard and shit so you couldn't see through the windows.
Yeah, doing that.
And, like, we were all in, like, a WhatsApp group, and it was, like, you guys want to go in for cleaning?
Oh.
And they never, like, it was all, like, it reminded me of, like, high school when you're trying to buy, like, a dime, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's like,
yo,
you can't fucking, you know, you send... Like, yo, could I get a gram of that Primo weed you got? And he's like, yo, don't say weed, bro. You gotta say... And, you know, your boys are giving you shit. Like, that's kind of...
You have to walk up to the place and be like, oh, what's the password? And they'll let you in.
New England clam chowder.
Right?
Red or white?
Oh, my God. All right. You're in. Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, we did that for a bit, but... I got a... I gotta ask, dude.
Yeah.
Most painful move that you've ever taken.
Ooh, most painful move.
Because I see a lot of shit, and I'm like, there's no way that didn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Wow, most painful move I've taken. Here's the thing, like, so far, I think the most painful move I've taken was, jeez. Because I don't get slammed that much.
Mm. Well, that's the, I guess, like, benefit of being a big dude.
Yeah, because I'm a big dude, right? So far, I haven't really been slammed so hard, but...
Top rope bumps?
No, actually, you know what? No top rope bumps right now. It was a submission move. I don't know the name of the submission move, but Isaiah put me in this one move, like, when we were doing in practice, and, like, oh, man, it felt like a bitch.
It was on the legs? It was on the legs. Yeah?
He did some type of, like, I don't know what it was, but, like, it was like, yo, this is a bitch. You know? Like, we were chaining a bit. And then, yeah, like, he put me in something, and I was like, nah, this ain't it. So I would say that it was the most painful move I've ever been in.
A lot of those submissions are, like, legit painful.
Yeah, man. Like, they'll stretch you out, man. They'll definitely. I'm trying to think.
Like, what's the move that Mikey fucking does? What is it called? I know the name of it.
But I know what you're talking about. Yeah, like, he kind of stretches you out, puts your arm.
Yeah, I feel like it's called some sort of stretch, actually.
Yeah.
Fuck, I can't remember. That one for sure looks painful.
Yeah.
And even though Mikey's, like, a small dude, like, he could just, he could wrap around him still. Like, yeah, I remember he had it on Gonzalez.
Oh, like you're talking about, like, I think it's like an octopus stretch.
That's it, yo. Octopus that's stretch. It. Yes, yeah. that's what it's called. Yeah,
man. Yeah, Mikey hit that clean. It was good. Mikey hits things out of nowhere. He shows me a bunch of submission moves. But yeah, that one looked painful.
I was kind of angry that I didn't, you know, see him.
Were you refereeing that match?
The Gonzalez match.
The Gonzalez match. You were refereeing. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I was hoping you guys would get a tag match in September at the fucking... Oh. What is it? PWE?
PWE. Nah, I think it's just a single match with me and Ron Legend. T. Legend.
That'll be good, though.
I'm excited for
that. He's good, man. He's excited
for that. Like, I was just saying, like, I don't really get slammed because I'm most of the... I'm a big guy. Could happen. He's a bigger guy now.
Could happen.
So this... It could happen now. So, like, when you ask me about, like, have I ever been, like... Like, what is the most painful move? I might feel it at PWP for Ron T. So.
That shit's funny because the last PWE event, I was doing Asylum and him.
Yeah.
And, like, the finish was Sharpshooter.
Yeah.
And, like Nick's a big dude. And he had him in the move, and he tapped, and then he didn't get off.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, come on, let's go, ring the bell. He's doing all the shit, and then... You know, I kind of walk with Ron, like, up behind the curtain, and he was like, thanks, man, that shit fucking hurt.
I'm telling you, some submission moves will be the most painful, like, to be honest, like the way your legs are not meant to be stretched like that, so, you know, for sure, like, those are the most painful. There was actually one time, like, me and Mikey were training, this is, like, probably my first 2 weeks into Battle Arts. And this is actually caught on video. He gave me a springboard 450 splash, and he landed his knees right on my
stomach. Mikey did?
Mikey did.
I might have seen that.
You might have seen that? This is like literally, and Mikey, I know you remember that. Like, this is literally like my second week in. Mikey was like, okay, who wants to take a 450 from me? And I was like, me. I'll take it. Screw it. I'll take it. So, like, I lay on the mat. And, like, I'm just laying there. He goes to the top of this the rope, does the whole flip, and then next thing you know, boom, right on my stomach. And I'm immediately, Mike was like, oh, my God, you okay? You okay? I was like, do it again.
That's fucked.
I was like, do it again. It hurt, but I was like, yo, like, this is my second week, so I'm, like, super, like, excited for anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, do it again. And then he did it again, did it perfectly. But, like, yeah, that's, like, the insane brain of, like, Jackson Roy wanting to get 450.
I've seen a lot. That's what I was saying earlier, like Mikey's training videos before I got into it. And, I think... He was actually, like, we had talked about, you know, me getting to the world. I actually fractured my back when I was younger, skateboarding and shit. So, like, I don't necessarily think, like, one of my vertebrae, like, my spine is, I mean, it's probably not perfectly straight, but things are aligned. And then you get to the lower back and there's, like, one vertebrae that's, like, in. If you actually go down, like, my back, there's a space. You'd have to, like, push in to kind of feel it.
I've kind of had some back problems as well in doing amateur wrestling. Just getting, like, slammed, getting double-legged and then lifted up and then slammed to the mat. Like, I've noticed, like, I've had a little bit of back problems from them. But, Yeah, that just comes with it.
Would you rather get slammed on like an amateur mat or like a pro ring?
They both hurt.
They both hurt, yeah. They both
hurt. And like, the thing with amateur wrestling though is like, you're not always getting like lifted up high. Like you're not, like if you get double legged, if the guy's strong enough, he can lift you up high and then just like take you down. Take down King. Take you down to the mat. But like in pro wrestling, like you're getting like suplex, you're getting vertical suplex, you're getting superplex, like
power bombs and shit.
So it's like they both hurt, but obviously like you're taking more of like, you're getting lifted up higher in pro wrestling, obviously. Whereas like amateur wrestling, like there's a lot of like shooting, going for the legs immediately, trying to get like, a front headlock and taking the guy down. So yeah, the different sports, but obviously in pro wrestling you get lifted up higher.
The thing I think is most deceiving about wrestling is that most people don't really understand or grasp how hard the fucking ropes are.
Oh my god,
dude. Like just like, and I'm just trying to, you know, get it. I'm asking people to look what, and I've just done it a couple times.
So yeah, like, yeah, god, yeah.
Damn,
like, it's
for tough. Someone like Mikey, like it's gotta be brutal.
Yeah, like
I mean, for everyone, I think it's brutal.
When I first started, like yeah, like your first day, you're gonna get those rope marks on you, you know. But I tell it to all the new guys, like you're gonna feel it tomorrow morning. But eventually, you just get used to it, you know. I love running the ropes. I love hitting those ropes hard to get that spring, especially when you're doing moves. Like I do a lot of explosive moves, mm-hmm. So like I have to hit the ropes really hard because I get that spring and then boom, I can just hit the guy. But yeah, it hurts. Definitely your first couple of weeks, you're going to feel it.
It definitely like, you know, helps when you have a little padding too, like watching yeah. Also like Boris, like Mikey's small, but he's a little muscular. Yeah, like yeah. Boris is like my size. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. And, yeah.
But he's, man, the thing I really love about training with you guys yeah. and like being there is seeing the growth, and everyone yeah. has growth, and like
absolutely, man.
Boris has a lot to go, but I've seen so much just in absolutely. You know, and there's people yeah. that when I started, I was like, oh, these people already have it, you know, yeah. like there's some people, mm-hmm. like you, I'm gonna get his fucking name wrong. Rajan.
What's Rajan Husher.
Yo.
Yeah, that guy.
Really good. I mean, I'll just say it. Like, yeah. Best seller out of, like, anybody yeah. that I've seen there. Boris is getting good with the selling because yeah. I think shit really hurts him.
Yeah.
And you can see that.
Oh, it hurts.
You know?
It hurts. I had a match with him the other day, and I made sure he felt everything.
But it's good. Yeah. He's getting, like, you know,
he's definitely what needs to happen. I remember that kid. Like, he came in, you know, he was a little shy and everything like that. And, like, he was kind of timid to everything. But, like, to see his progression to where he's at now is amazing. He's dedicated to it, you know. He's not the biggest guy, but, you know, he's showing.
Hey, man, you can get big.
Yeah.
You can get big.
You can get big, but that's cool. Just with him, like, coming in and day out, and just all of us. You said Husher. That guy, he's I don't think he's even missed a practice. He hasn't missed any practices. And all the success, he was just on SmackDown. Or backstage at SmackDown last night, with all of his success, all of his hard work coming into practice, he deserves the success that he's having. And just with Abu as well, he's been.
So many, pretty much everybody there, man.
Brother, same with, yeah. You like, know? With Abu, like me, Abu, Mikey, Matt. We all came up together. Yeah, Manjit.
Like, yo, the fucking Ahmed.
Matty Z, Ahmed.
Yo, KPK. Those KPK pops, bro, I'm just. Bro, they're come
wild.
On.
They're wild.
Insane.
Man.
And, like, I have to, yeah. like, I haven't known you guys that long, but yeah. I feel such a sense of, like, pride. Like, yeah. when I was in the ring and I was trying not to smile, I try yeah. not to laugh or do any of that shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And just remain, like, solid.
Yeah.
But, like, I was so happy for him yeah. and seeing that shit.
It was a good moment for him, man.
I'm like, so many people there.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning, dude.
Right? And like, the sky's the limit for them. I'm so proud of those two stuff. Guys. The KPK, like, they took their thing and they made it themselves. They did everything themselves. And, like, Just their hard work. They were actually both in the training at the CZW camp the other day, and they're trying to take their team out there just like Dynasty. And we're actually gonna be going a little 2-on-2 with them coming up soon at the Beaverton.
I've been waiting for that.
People have been waiting for it, and we've been waiting for it. Dynasty, we've been waiting to go 2-on-2 with them because like they've definitely shown that like as a tag team that they can like, you know, get an audience, get a following, and we just can't wait to go in the ring with them.
When is that?
This is September 17th at Beaverton, at the new Beaverton location at Battle Arts. It's a Beaverton Fair.
Have you been to the new location yet?
No, I've not been there. So like, actually, that would be my first time there on the 17th.
That's like where Corelli's living around now.
I think so. I'm not too sure. I don't think he lives. I'm pretty sure he's close by.
Okay.
But yeah, they're like opening their new facility out there, and they wanted some of the guys to put on the show. So they chose Dynasty and KBK.
That's big.
That's a big match, you know, like with both two up-and-coming tag teams. So we all just been waiting for this, and we're going to put in
I got to try to make it up for that.
Awesome match. And, like, we're going to try to steal that show. We're going to try to steal the show that night. So I'm ready for them. Me and Mike are ready for KBK. Coming for y'all.
All right, so...
Yeah.
One more question, and then we'll get into our top five.
Of course.
Favorite wrestler. And we could also, if you want, you could do like favorite wrestler now, favorite wrestler of all time, if they're not the same. You know?
Perfect. This is easy. Favorite wrestler of all time is Booker T. Booker T is my favorite wrestler of all time just because like he's been such an inspiration. In everything, like he was actually one of the first wrestlers, like when I said like back in the day when I was 5 years old flipping through the channels, he was actually the first wrestler I saw. I believe it was like a commercial of him, like I think it was like when he first debuted in WWE, when he threw Stone Cold through the announcer table.
Like, I remember that.
Like that was like one of the first times I remember. That was one of the first times I ever watched wrestling, and I was like, wow, that like this guy's cool. Dude's doing those scissor kick moves and like those kick moves, and most importantly, like he looks like me. You know, here's another black guy doing wrestling, and it's an inspiration. It makes me believe like, oh, I can do this too.
And he did come from like very humble beginnings. Like he made shit happen on its own, and so, like,
yeah, you can relate to that. And he's just so entertaining.
Yeah,
just the Spinneroonie, the can you dig it, sucker.
And like, he was good in WCW, but when he went over to WWF, like it kind of just turned it up a notch, you know.
Yeah, and man.
There was a lot of, he had that King Booker gimmick for a
little bit. I didn't like King Booker. I didn't like King Booker just because like I grew up watching Booker T, like him do the can you dig it, the Spinneroonie.
Yeah.
And when he just stopped that, I was like, "Oh no, this is not the guy I grew up watching. This is not the guy I played in the video games and all that stuff and emulated and everything, like, you know." So like I did not like
King I liked Booker. It because it well, don't get me wrong, like I don't think I'd necessarily say it was better than the Booker T thing.
Yeah.
But it's like I liked it cuz it showed a different side. It's like when Stone Cold went heel.
Yeah.
And he was like with McMahon, and there was like a lot of stupid comedy shit he did with like Kurt Angle and cowboy hats playing guitar and shit and it's like, yes, this isn't as good as like McMahon coming out and spraying everybody, you know, with the fucking beer and shit. But it's funny, you know, and I liked it because it was like, oh, this is kind of fresh.
Yeah.
You know, and I
I did like when he won the world title with King Booker, but I just wish he did it as Booker T.
Fair.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. So Booker T would be like my all-time. Currently, right now, I would say AJ Styles.
Okay.
AJ Styles is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I watched him growing up as well in TNA. Oh my God. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, phenomenal. There's a reason why they call him that. Just him in the ring just puts on match after match after match, and they're all just like amazing.
Yeah.
And just like his style in the ring.
And he like, he did do Undertaker's last match, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he did.
Which actually is
crazy. Like, wow, this guy took so long to get to WWE, and he's the guy that had Undertaker's last match. It's wild.
And it went well. I would say for what it was, it went well. Yeah, yeah, it was one of the best, what do they call them? The cinematic matches. That's what they call them. I would say it's like up there.
It's definitely up there. And I just loved like Undertaker coming out in like the American Badass gimmick, because I like that gimmick. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I liked it. I guess it's just because I grew up watching wrestling in the Ruthless Aggression era, and he was doing that. I liked the gimmick, so I actually was like really happy for him to do that.
I liked it too, bro, and I think this is a good little... I think we should start our top five with entrance music.
Oh.
All right, and I think I'll go first.
Yeah.
Because... you'll see why in a minute. So number one, Stone Cold.
Okay.
It's my favorite entrance music of all time. I have like a little thing that I do for my podcast. Like you'll probably see it. I'll probably post it on like Monday, kind of like for a promo thing. Nice. And it's like this little song like that I put together. And the beginning of it is like Stone Cold's glass shattering. Like I just... And I mean, like, the OG. I didn't really like when Disturbed did it, and it was all, like, super heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. So that's my number one. And then I'm going... some people could argue that Judas is, you know, better, but if I'm going Jericho, I'm going Y2J.
Okay.
When he made his debut on Raw against The Rock.
Oh, that original
and, like, one. The Rock was talking shit. And for, like, a bit, they were doing, like, this countdown thing, right?
Yeah,
and it would go
dark
and it'd be, like, 9, 8.
Yeah,
and
it was dope.
And then fucking this happened when The Rock was in the ring. And then the music actually, like, there was a shitload of fireworks. Bro, I would even say, like, my favorite debut of all time.
Yeah.
I would argue.
It was a dope debut for sure, man.
It was great. Yeah. And that music... I believe it was on WWF Volume 4.
Oh, yeah. The
like, when they actually did
the
those.
The CDs, those music. Oh, yeah, WWF God. The music, yo.
Bro.
Yeah, those.
But that is my number two, the Y2J.
Y2J, cool.
And then my number three is American Badass.
Oh, yeah.
That's why, you know, I was like, oh, we definitely have to start with this. Yeah. And I actually like the American Badass gimmick as well. And I remember when he, like, was gone for a bit.
Yeah.
And I actually was like, I don't know if they're doing this anymore.
Mm.
But, and really, honestly, the only pay-per-views I do buy right now are the AEW ones.
Yeah.
But, like, back in the day, I would go to, like, theaters.
Right.
For these events.
Yeah,
the pay-per-views and shit.
We used to do that, too, me and my buddies.
And I was there for this. Nice. And it was like you ever see like Avengers or like Justice League on like opening night and shit?
Yeah,
and like
it's
people
crazy.
Like, woo, and it's real loud. Like it's louder those first few days that it's out.
It's a crazy atmosphere.
My God, that's what it was like. It was like that, like times 10, dude.
Nice, nice.
And I wanna say it was at the time Kid Rock. That's the one. I think he briefly might have done Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit, yeah.
But like I'm talking like
song,
the Kid Rock one.
Yeah. American Badass.
Yeah,
I remember that one. Yeah.
So that's my number three. Number four is like probably not known, dude, but like I love hip hop and shit, and there's not a lot of good hip hop. My last two are Aaron Solo. It's my number four.
Okay.
He doesn't get his anymore because now he's in the fucking factory and shit, dude.
Yeah,
but oh my God, it's good.
Nice.
And then number five is Eddie Kingston.
Eddie Kingston? Okay,
I fucking love that shit, dude.
Yeah,
like, it hypes me up. Nothing hypes me up more than Eddie Kingston.
Eddie Kingston's
theme,
He needs
a fucking AEW championship title ring.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
the
future.
He's actually wrestling in Toronto. Is it today or tomorrow?
Greektown.
Yeah. So he's down here, man.
Yeah, it is tomorrow, and I can't go. Wait. It's either tomorrow or today.
I mean, this
is coming out on Tuesday, so.
Yeah.
But it's either, I don't know. This weekend.
This weekend, man. So.
Yeah, I can't go. Yeah. I'm going to Chili Peppers, or I went to Chili Peppers on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude. So what do you think? Entrance music.
So me, I'm gonna say my number one is Booker T's theme. Just like, grew up, it was my thing back in the day. Like, I just love listening to it, like, the whole, can you dig it? And then it gets in the whole instrumental. I just love playing that stuff.
Did he ever have, like, it's always been that,
yeah, it's like, it never been changed. Like, I think, it, like, in WCW, like, it wasn't, can you dig it? I think, like,
oh,
was,
yeah, that kind of thing.
It was like, I think the intro was like, don't hate the player, hate the game, and then get into, like, the theme song.
Gotcha.
But, like,
yeah, yeah,
this version, like, the WWE version, it was the whole can you dig it. So I'll just start off with that. Second was Rob Van Dam.
Okay.
I love Rob Van Dam's theme. It gets me hype in the gym. Like, there's this whole, like, the one of a kind. And then it just gets into, like, the crazy, like, guitar riffs and stuff like that. It's like, I love Rob Van Dam's theme. It's so hype. Three would be, you know what, the one theme I actually like, and these are actually two, this is actually, Rob Van Dam is a rock theme, this is another rock theme, is Rhea Ripley.
Okay.
I like Rhea Ripley's theme. I like themes that are, like, really hype.
Yeah.
And that can get me pumped for the gym. So, I love Rhea Ripley's theme. It's just, I don't know, like, when, like, the bass hits, or the bass drops after the, like, this is my brutality, like, I like that shit. Four. What would be number four? Number four. You know what theme I actually really like? Evolutions.
Oh, yes.
Evolutions,
dude.
Themes was fire.
Oh, they were such a good faction.
Yeah, I loved Evolutions.
They theme, were man. Good, man. If it was like Flair, like, don't, I don't want to take anything away from Flair, yeah. You know? I don't even really want to talk about his last match. Let's just forget about it. But, the only, like, I would say, like, no joke, that might be my favorite faction of all time. It's on there. If we were doing the top five factions, yeah. Evolution would be Evolution on there for sure.
For sure, okay.
I just think if Ric Flair was, like, 5 years younger, there would be no argument. They would for sure be, like, number one, because they just had so much. And I think, actually, like, the end of Evolution was... Was it the thumbs down thing when Randy Orton won the belt?
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, and that was fucking epic too,
that
man.
That was a crazy moment. It was a moment that you didn't see coming, you know?
Yeah, man.
But yeah. And the last one would be AJ Styles' TNA theme. Like, the Get Ready to Fly. Love that shit, bro. Like, that was actually one of the better TNA themes. Like, TNA wasn't really known for, like, having really good theme songs. Mm. But, like, for some reason, that one was just, like, that one hit different. Like, that was a crazy theme. It got me hype. But, yeah, I love that one. I actually liked it way better than his theme that he has now. I wish he would have
kept it. I hate when that happens, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I wish he would have kept it, but, like, obviously, like, WWE, they don't really like using stuff from other companies, so
I don't like right now, like what some people in AEW are doing. It's like, pick a fucking theme song, you know? Yeah. Or pick an entrance song, you know what I mean? Like, like, I swear Orange Cassidy in the last 2 years has had like three different ones.
Oh yeah, they keep switching.
And like, I feel like none of them really fit him. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, man.
We want to do tag teams. Let's do tag teams.
Cool, cool.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go first. All right. So my favorite tag team of all time would be the Dudley Boys.
Oh, yes. Yeah, man. Yes.
I grew up watching those guys. They were just different. They look different. They wrestle different. And they, I don't care what anyone says, they have the greatest tag team move of all time.
The finisher move?
The finisher move.
I love it, bro. It's simple and it's
amazing. It's epic.
Like, you include a table and
exactly,
it's just,
get the tables. The whole, everything about the Dudley Boys is just like, they're my favorite tag team of all time. Number two... And just because, like, they're such an inspiration, because, like, once again, they're guys who look like me, are the New Day. I like the New Day just because, like, you know, they were different. They did things their way. They're a faction, kind of like Dynasty, who did things their way, you know, and they figure out a way to get over. And it ultimately helped Kofi Kingston win the WWE title.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, they are definitely in there. I can see why some people might like New Day, like, they're jokes, like, they're silly,
like,
you know? But like, they are, you know, what to see what they've done for the industry is amazing. Like, they've done a lot. So I would say that they're number two. Number three, America's Most Wanted in TNA. So that's James Storm and Wildcat Chris Harris. So like they just like were just so entertaining. They were different. And they were just so good in the ring. Like they had such good chemistry. And yeah, they just really caught my eye when I first started watching TNA. So yeah, it would be the America's Most Wanted. And then eventually, this goes into my third favorite tag team, and it's also TNA, is Beer Money. So that would be James Storm and Robert Roode, who's actually in WWE now. Like, I loved those guys. They were different. They came out with, like, the beer coolers and stuff like that. And James Storm had the robes and stuff like that. They were just, like, a different looking. They didn't look like they went together, but they just meshed well together, you know? And they just worked so well in the ring. So that would be number three. Number four would be, I don't know if you remember these guys, Lundrick, Paul London and Brian Kendrick.
Oh yeah, I do.
Remember them?
Yeah.
They were sick. Like they reminded me a lot of the Hardy Boys. Like they were like the ruthless aggression Hardy Boys. Like they did all the crazy spots. They did all the cool moves. Their entrance was cool. Like they would run to the ring and just like slide in and like, yeah, they didn't do much like as far as like talking on the mic, but like they showed what they can do in the ring. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was such a cool time. I was so happy when Brian Kendrick came back to WWE because like he was like one half of like this team that like I grew up watching and like loved watching. So shout out to them. Like I feel like they're very underrated. A lot of people do not talk about Lundrick. And then I guess number five would be the Hardy Boys. Obviously, you know, they're a huge inspiration to anyone who loves tag team wrestling. Very, very iconic tag team. Like, do I have to say anymore? It's the Hardy Boys. Like, everyone loves the Hardy Boys. They've done so much for the industry. So, that would be my top five. It would be Hardy Boys, Beer Money, America's Most Wanted. It would be The New Day, and last but not least, it would be who's my first one again? I said first. Fuck.
You did say five, though.
I did say five.
It's all good.
I forget. You know the first one. You saw it on tape.
Yeah.
So that would be my favorite tag team. The Dudley Boys. Fuck.
There we go.
She's my bad. Fucking forget my favorite.
Right. I love all those teams, but like none of them. I if I was doing a sixth, I would probably put the Dudley Boys in there.
Yeah.
But, so number one, and they're a team that I guess I'm relatively new with. Like just discovered them when AEW started, but Lucha Bros. Like, pretty much every time I see them wrestle, I'm like, oh, never seen that before.
Mm.
You know, like, numerous times. And yeah. I love that. Keeps it fresh. I'm going with New Age Outlaws.
Okay.
Which weren't necessarily, like, I wouldn't say they're good in the ring, for sure. But they're say they were the best technically. They were just fun to watch. The DX thing, you know, it was a good time. They had a really, you know, their intro was epic. Then I'm going probably like the first team I actually liked, you know, Bushwhackers, dude.
Oh, really?
Fucking, you know, like those dudes.
Yeah, man.
All they're famers. Just fun to, yeah, dude. They were just fun to watch back in the day. Like, yeah. I got into wrestling at a really young age, and like they were just, I want to say the first team I was ever like a fan of.
That's nice. That's nice.
Young Bucks.
Okay.
Again, very, very innovative.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going Legion of Doom.
Oh, okay, of course. Yeah. Very iconic tag.
And like, you know, the Hawk and Animal, not when who was it? What,
Heinrich? Yeah, that was my era. Like, yeah, I remember that. Like that was so random. Like, you know, they brought back Animal, and then the next thing you know, they put Heinrich, and it was just, nah. Just
give Animal a solo, bro.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
It was not it, man. And then they tried to put Christy Hemme with them, and it was just like, nah. They tried to, like, bring back that whole, like, Animal and Hawk with, like, a Sunny type of vibe. So that's where they put Christy Hemme, but it just, nah, man, it was not it.
Hemme was a babe, or is a babe.
Bro, she still looks good to this day, yo. Really good. Yeah.
Dream matches, dude.
Dream matches. Do you mean like, for me, or like the matches I would like to see two people?
I mean for you.
For me?
Yeah. Like who would you... And I want to try to say like people you can actually wrestle. Like...
Yeah, you know what you mean. Like,
not necessarily that. Does Booker T wrestle still?
He actually still wrestles.
I feel like he qualifies.
Of course, like I think he did a match for his promotion ROW. He did a match for them like not too long ago. So I think he still does matches every now and then.
That's dope.
So
Stone Cold came back and his match was fucking great, dude.
We're all at our mix house watching that, and we did not believe it was gonna happen. Like, him actually getting back to the ring. So when they rang the bell, we're like, no, no, no. And then we see him take his first bump. We're like, is this really happening?
So many bumps, like, decent bumps he took. The match was like, fucking, what, like 20 minutes? Yeah. Over 20 minutes?
Yeah,
I was actually worried kind of going into it because he's my goat.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did it well, man. Really well.
Yeah, man. Like, wow, I couldn't believe what I was watching. It's like, am I really watching Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestle in 2022?
Kevin Owens.
Like, wow.
Like, kidding me? Okay.
He must have lost it backstage after that.
Yeah, right?
Wow. But yeah, my dream matches. I think I said this on another podcast. One of the matches I'd really like to have is against Rob Silk. Mm-hmm. Silk and Smooth, so one of our coaches.
Yeah.
I really would love to wrestle him just because, like, I feel like me and him have, like, the same style. Like, we're both very explosive. We both have, you know, similar athletics. You know, he likes to, like, do a lot of, like, jumps, like, really jumps. And just, like, basically his intensity is, like, similar to mine. So... Rob, even just like both of them, Rob and Nick.
Yeah.
You know, Stone Rockwell.
They're both. So, like, Nick is just a fountain of fucking information and, like, knowledge. And it's, you know. He's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to put him over too much, but he is fucking awesome.
I ain't going to put you over too much, Nick. But, yeah, Stone Rockwell and Silk against Dynasty would be great. Another guy I would like to wrestle. There's just so many guys. Like, there's so many guys on the independents that I would love to wrestle one-on-one, even just a tag team.
Well, even, like, bigger, bro.
Yeah.
Even bigger than independents.
Even bigger than independents. Yeah. Obviously, I would love to wrestle, like, a guy like a Chad Gable. Someone who kind of has, like, similar... backgrounds to me, like in like amateur wrestling, like a Chad Gable, a Dolph Ziggler, would be great.
I think a good match, and I could be wrong here, but I would like to see Pete Dunne versus Jackson Roy.
That'd be a good one. Yeah, like his style and my style will definitely mesh pretty good. Booker T as well. All of like my guys that like I grew up watching would be dream matches for me.
Yeah.
Booker T, Rob Van Dam, Edge, like a fellow Toronto guy. Like that would be great.
Edge is definitely a possibility.
Yeah. All the guys that
Edge is doing well on his return too, man.
He's doing amazing. Like just to see the shape that he's gone in, it's crazy. He looks better than he did like
before. I think so too. Yeah, yeah.
He looks just like he looked in 2002. 2002 Edge was on fire. He was just having killer matches, like match after match after match. Like he just killed it. And I feel like since he's come back, he's gotten back to that point. Like, he's having just great matches with Seth Rollins. He's had great matches with Reigns and Daniel Bryan. Like, he's really killing it right now. So,
well, I think right now, like, every single... Tell me one bad fucking Bryan Danielson match since he's been in AEW, bro.
Man.
They're all like five-star matches. He's fucking crushing.
He's back, man. Like, dude. He's going back to those days where he was like in Ring of Honor. And I used to watch Ring of Honor back in the day. All of his matches with Samoa Joe and Daniels and freaking AJ. Like, he's going back to that moment or that time where like he really loves professional wrestling, and he can mm-hmm. really show what he can do. Mm-hmm. So it's great. It's great to see him, you know, back at that stage. Mm.
So, yeah, pretty. I could pretty much name like the whole AEW roster, like of matches I'd like to ref. You know, I don't really have a top five because yeah. you know, but. Like, I mean, MJF.
Of course.
Fucking course. Britt Baker. Thunder Rosa. Mm-hmm. You know? And, like, working that event, I definitely don't think I'll ever be... I mean, I got a ways to go to be the senior official, so I don't think I'll get that time, match. Man. But, I mean, it's just... It's, like, legitimately going to be an honor to be working an event with her, so...
That's crazy, man. That's good.
But, yeah, like, fucking pretty much anybody. AEW, AEW legitimately has brought back my love for wrestling. And, like, I've been going to, like, indie shows and stuff, but as mm-hmm. far as, like, watching it every day, buying pay-per-views, you know, things like that, it was a long time, you know? Like, I would, like, skim through WrestleMania and watch maybe, like, an hour and a half of it all together, you know?
I feel
it, And AEW, like, I buy every pay-per-view, and so, like, I just really love their product. I think... Yeah. Now, with Vince being gone, things changing for WWE, and I'm excited. I've seen
some changes already with just like with Triple H bringing back all of his guys from NXT.
Right. Like, yeah. It's like, just like almost like right away.
Instantly, like a change, right? And you're just like seeing like more, a little bit more edginess to like some of the, you know, backstage segments, kind of like what they did with Dexter Lumis. With, like, everything, him getting arrested and stuff like that. But most importantly, I think, like, what's going to happen with Triple H in charge is that they're going to start scouting out independent talent again, like they used to do. Before, like, the NXT 2.0, like, they had a lot of, like, indie talent. Like, every month, like, it seemed like a new independent wrestler was just, like, coming to the roster and coming to the brand. So I feel like now that Triple H is in charge, he's going to start, like, scouting out some of independent talent, still looking at like looking for athletes, mm-hmm. you know, still looking for them, but he's gonna also strive to kind of sign some independent talent as well.
Who I don't know if she has like a stage name, but someone from Battle Arts just got signed with NXT or whatever.
Yeah, Monica.
Yeah, does she just go by Monica?
She goes by Monica. She goes by Monique in OTT.
Okay.
But that's Monica. Yeah, she just recently got signed to WWE. She come from a karate background. I think she's actually was on Team Canada for karate.
That's wild.
So she has a very, very prestigious karate background. She did a couple of tryouts with them, got recruited, and yeah, she just got signed. And very happy for her. Very proud of her.
She seems excited, man. I don't even really know her. Like, I met her like maybe like a handful of times, but she's always very polite and always very positive attitude, and it's just exciting to see, you know?
Yeah, she was off for a bit to go to the PC, but now she's back at Battle Arts and she's doing her thing. She's training really hard, and she takes it seriously. You know, a lot of people would say like, oh, you know, she comes from like this background, she doesn't really like care too much about wrestling, but no, like, I've talked to her, she really cares about the business.
The thing is, man, like, some people... they really get in their head that there's like, it's this way. There's one path to, you know, becoming a great wrestler or a great comedian or a great fucking painter.
Yeah.
And there's not, dude. Yeah. There's not. There's so many paths and like...
There's so much different avenues, different journeys. Like, everyone has their own journey. Yeah. And
that karate is going to... I mean, benefit her in the end. It will.
It's a combat sport, just like with me, with amateur wrestling. It's a combat sport that teaches you discipline. So she already has that discipline to kind of like go into practice, do drills, be respectful,
learn new
things, you know. So yeah, it's really good for her, and we'll see how she does in the future in NXT.
Mm-hmm. You gotta keep learning, man.
Yeah, man. Very, very important.
What are we gonna do? Let's do shoes.
Wow.
Are you a shoe guy?
No.
You're not, eh?
No, I'm not that much of a shoe guy. When it comes to shoes, like, I know what's funny? I know more about wrestling shoes than actual regular shoes.
Oh, okay.
So, like, When it comes to, like, regular shoes, I like Converse. Yeah. The leather one, though. Like, okay. I don't like the other material one.
Yeah.
I just wear regular leather Converse. I've had Jordans before, but, like, I am one of the guys, like, I don't like getting my shoes dirty. So, like,
yeah.
having Jordans to me, like, oh, like, I would always get dirty. So I was like, nah. Like, I don't want to get these dirty.
I just got frustrated with it,
so, like, I just stopped buying them.
Yeah, so I don't buy white shoes anymore.
Anything,
maybe a little bit of white.
But for me, like, I had, like, it was, like, black, red, and white, and, like, yeah. I still didn't want to get it dirty. So yeah. I was just like, you know what? I'm not buying these anymore. I'm cool with just Converse. but, yeah, I'm not much of a shoe guy, to be honest. So.
All right, I had a bunch of top fives. I didn't just pick shoes because you're black.
Yeah.
I kind of go through things. Superheroes is really, like, the only one I do every episode just to kind of bring people into my world. Yeah. But I did work, like, at a shoe store back in the day. Uh-huh. So, like, I am a little weird about shoes and, like, keeping them clean and, you know. So I'll generally have, like, just a shit pair that I just, like, wear, take my dog for walks and do all that kind of shit. Nice, and then I have my ref shoes.
Yeah.
You know, and then I have, like, my other, like, everyday good shoes. Like, I have different shoes for different things, but my number one is Superstars, like the shell toes, the Adidas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just think they're classic. And then I'm going Stan Smiths. I'm a big Adidas dude.
Nice.
And they're just, like, just comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going Timberland boots.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And just, like, the OG, like, the OG premium ones. The My tall boy wears ones. Those.
It's sick. Yeah, they're sick.
And, like, actually, like, when I got my first pair of Tims, I was working at the shoe store that I'm at. I think it was called Tattoo Footwear. And they had, like, it was just, like, a brand name store. So it had all that shit. And I never had Tims before. And we did this, like, competition between all of, like, the lower level, like, not the managers or anything, but every, you know, just, what the fuck was I? What is that fucking position called? Why am I drawing a blank? Like, what am I if I sell you clothes? I am...
Salesman?
Okay, I guess. I can't think of it, but a salesman works, right? So all the people, the salesmen or salespeople. Like, you know, whoever sold the most shoe accessories for the month, right? So we're talking, like, sprays, you know, so fucking it doesn't absorb water. We're talking, like, shoelaces, whatever the fuck else goes with shoes. I think socks was even included.
Okay.
And so I sold all that shit, and then I was like, what's the most expensive thing in the store I can buy?
Yeah.
And we had these, fuck, dude, to this day, they're still the best ones I've ever had, and they were the first ones. They were black and red, dude. Just black and red.
Okay.
They had, like, a red stripe on, like, the side at the bottom, like, the rubber part.
Yeah.
And then, like, the tree logo was red, and then the top part was red.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, three bills, and I was like, I'll take them. Because I just wanted to, like, you know, get the most I could from the company. And I fucking fell in love, and I, like, never bought a winter boot, a different winter boot.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's like, I just, you know, I'm good. I just keep buying, like, the same all the black same Tims. One, or if I find, like, a cool one, I might pick it up. But...
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like I said, I actually had to kind of, like, do some Googling because I'm not a big shoe dude. But there's these skate shoes that I had. And, like, skate shoes are just, like, a couch on your foot, dude. I don't know if you ever own a pair, but...
I've seen, like, I know, like, about the DC, like, the DC shoes.
It's just so much padding, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm going with Ryan Sheckler, the skateboarder. He had these Etnies.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say those. I don't really... They might have some, like, fancy name or whatever, but I don't know. His Etnies. And then Chuck Taylor's, the Converse.
Nice.
I'm not...
Can't go wrong with Chuck Taylor's.
The thing with them is, like, they don't look good on my feet. Yeah. So I had one pair in my life, and then I haven't had them since. But I just love how they look and how long they've been around. Yeah. And, like, they could fit so many different, like... You could be punk rock. You could be fucking, you know, hip hop. Yeah, you could be fucking. They're like, they just fit so many different cultures that they, you know, they. They got to be on the list. I think.
Exactly. Definitely.
And I guess we'll finish on superheroes, dude.
Superheroes, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, my first, I would say my first favorite would be Black Panther.
Yeah.
Black Panther is my favorite superhero of all time. I love the movie. They're coming out with a new one.
I'm worried a little bit.
You're already worried, eh?
I'm a little worried. I don't know how they're going to do it well.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
But,
seems like it's going to be,
I don't know, like, the sequels are never, ever, like, better than the original, like, movie.
It's rare.
It's rare, exactly. But I'm still going to tune in to see what they have in store for that movie. Number one would be Black Panther.
Okay.
Number two, I don't know if this guy's a superhero, Blade.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't even need to be traditional, but I would say he is.
I love Blade.
Yeah.
I love that movie back in the day.
100%. They're bringing it back.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
I can't remember who's playing him right now. I know, but I can't think of his name. But they are bringing him back.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a movie or if it's going to be a show. A
TV show?
But either they are.
Either way, I'm definitely going to tune in.
Those first two were epic.
The third one was okay. I don't like the third one.
I was like excited. I was like, oh, fucking Triple H
in it. Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Nah, that was not it. I did not enjoy that one. Not one bit. I only like the first two, and then I never watched the third one ever again.
No, he's definitely superhero.
Oh, yeah. So Blade. Third would be Hulk. I like the Hulk. The movies were never really great, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I just, like, I don't know. Like, here's, like, a big, strong guy, you know. He's a big guy, kind of like me. So, like, I like the Hulk.
I like him, too. I hate kind of what they're doing with him in the Avengers stuff. And now that he's just, like, this Professor Smart Hulk or whatever, you know? You know what I should recommend? And I just watched the first episode yesterday night.
Mm-hmm.
She-Hulk.
I heard it's pretty good.
There's only one episode out, but I fucking... As far as Marvel shows go, I'm not too... Like, they're very hit or miss for me.
Okay.
But this is, like, definitely a hit. It's definitely a good one.
I should definitely tune in.
And Bruce is in it.
Bruce is in it? Okay, cool. So, cool. Yeah, I've heard some good things about it. What am I on, four?
Yeah, I think
four
so.
Would be Spider-Man. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is the freaking greatest. I love Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yes, your favorite?
He's my favorite.
Me too.
I've had a lot of debates on, you know, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, I don't know what the other third guy's name is, but whatever.
Tom Holland.
But my favorite is Tobey Maguire. I love the first two movies again. I love the first two movies of Spider-Man back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There's something about the pre... Like, when the MCU started, I think they originally were planning on starting it with Edward Norton's Hulk, but I think officially they're, I guess, doing it with... I don't know, actually, officially. I'm just talking shit. But I think people mostly reference Iron Man.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, the Hulk changed. But Iron Man was actually at the end of Edward Norton's Hulk movie.
Nice.
And I think once that started, like, the comic book movie genre changed. Mm-hmm. And there's something that is really, like, the first few X-Men movies.
Yeah.
The first two, actually. Yeah. You know, the first two Blades. And, like, the first two Spider... These are, like, pre-formula days.
Yeah,
like, now they have this formula, and most of their movies are just, like, cookie cutter.
Yeah,
we're going to put in characters, but they're basically the same movie.
Yeah, it's definitely, like...
But back then, there was something special about
those.
So
it was different.
That's why I like Toby.
Yeah.
You know?
He's just so good. Such a good...
And I like Garfield. I think the thing about Garfield now that people are seeing was like, oh, like, he wasn't a bad Spider-Man. He was just not in the best movies.
Oh, I see. Just the way the movie's put together, yeah.
And I hear that Tom Hardy's Venom, I don't know how legit this is, but it's something I heard, and I was like, please be true, that he was going to be in The Amazing Spider-Man, so like Andrew Garfield's universe, and they were going to do a third one.
Oh, really?
I think that could be cool if they were actually going to do that.
That can be cool. You know, I like the Venom movies. So.
You know what, dude?
I like the first one.
The first one was so good.
Yeah,
yeah.
The first one was good. The second one, a little shaky.
It was okay. It gets a pass, but like the first one was just great. Yeah,
Man. Yeah. Number five. I think I'm number five. Number five would be Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine would be my top five, my last five. I don't know, I just cool. It's a cool superhero.
Yeah.
You know, take no shit, just badass. Yeah, Wolverine.
X-Men. Did you watch that like old school cartoon?
I watched the cartoons X-Men? Growing yeah. up. Yeah.
So that's why I started getting my love for fucking him.
Like, and when it came to like the whole X-Men, like I only cared about Wolverine. I didn't really care about anyone else.
Yeah. Actually, well, he was definitely the one I liked.
Yeah.
The most.
Mm.
And I started getting into like Gambit. There's a few, yeah. but a lot of them are just eh.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're cool, like
they're good as a team.
They're good as a team, know? But, like, I just only cared about Wolverine, so he's the only one that caught my eye on the team, so.
And they're bleed in that movie, Frank. They need to do something. I think they're going to bring in X-Men with, like, the Avengers and shit soon.
Oh, yeah? That'd
so sick. It's what they need to do. They need to bring some new life. I know they're bringing Fantastic Four and stuff back, so, oh, I mean, yeah, it's only...
Fantastic Four.
It's only a matter of time before we get X-Men in there.
Yeah, man.
Deadpool and shit, that'd be
Ooh,
cool.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Deadpool's cool. Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's my top five.
All right, dude. I can do mine quick. I do them every episode, but Batman, Ninja Turtles, then I'm going Red Hood, Arsenal, and Spider-Man.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good list.
So that's my five. All right, bro. We'll end on one of these.
Nice.
You pick one.
Cool.
I'll pick one. And oh, these are decent.
Okay, so I just read it off?
Yeah, you read one.
Okay. Have you ever felt like you were outside your body? Like an out-of-body experience?
Like non... Because, like, I'm, like, over 10 years sober now. Like, yeah. But, like, back in the day, like, non-drug-induced, probably only one time.
One time?
And it's, like... feel like the very first time I bombed.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it wasn't that, like, super bad because I wasn't the only one. Mm. Like, it's worse if you're on a, you know, a show and everybody does great but you.
Yeah,
man. There's, like, a couple people that do bad. It's like, all right, you know, we all suck.
I feel you, yeah.
And, it was the first time I was doing an open mic and... couple people sucked before me and so like it I was just like, oh god, this isn't gonna go well, like no one did well before me, so my headspace wasn't good. And I remember just like every joke, like I had like some like fucking daredevil sense of hearing, like tell a joke and then nothing.
Oh man.
And I could hear like people whispering like at the fucking back of the bar.
Shit,
man, looking at me and shit, and I was just like, oh my god, time like slowed down.
Yeah,
and
man,
I would say that's probably
it's just like wrestling when like you do like a move or you come out and like you get no reaction, like it's just so awkward.
Yeah,
you know, like especially if you're like one of the good guys and you come out and you're like and then people are just silent, it's just so awkward. It's just like an awkward feeling.
Yeah.
Like a move and like it doesn't get a reaction. It's just like, ooh, okay. You know, so I can kind of see what you're saying there. Like that kind of feeling when like you just hear crickets. So.
Well, it's like I felt like I was like watching myself. You know? But I couldn't do anything. It was just, I don't know.
Yeah, man.
It was like on autopilot. Just going through the motions.
For real, for real. All
right. First one. First. Okay. Do you say things you later regret?
Do I say things I later regret? Sometimes. Like, you know, there's times where, like, I would say something to a girl, and I was like, oh, shit. I shouldn't have said that.
Okay, yeah.
Like, yeah, and there's sometimes, like, you know, just, yeah, that's the first thing that comes to my head. Like, I'll have an argument with someone, and, like, sometimes I'll think, like, oh, man, maybe I went a little too far.
Who doesn't say things they regret?
Exactly. Like, that's just, like, human
nature. That's how I feel. I feel like... Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's, like, if you look back at yourself, like, you know, 10 years ago, and there isn't something that you, like, you know, kind of cringe about...
Yeah.
Maybe you're not growing enough.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. Like that's how I feel.
I absolutely agree.
Or you're just not, you just don't give a fuck.
You don't give a fuck about anything.
You know? Yeah.
And you're just like, had no filter. Like for me, yeah, I definitely have said some things that are cringe. I'm like, oh man, I look back It's like, why did I say that? Stupid. But yeah, I think that's just
everybody. But you learn, man. Yeah, just like, you know.
You know, like, that's everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess I'll ask you the second one. Have you had a memorable experience using a drug, legal or otherwise?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. What one do I want to talk about?
Oh, boy.
I don't want to get too crazy. And, like, yeah. I was, like, brought up a, like, a weird, like, I was in foster homes and stuff, dude. Oh, and, man. Like, so my mom did drugs and stuff. And so, like, in my mind, I was like, all right, I'm never going to do crack, heroin, or meth.
Okay.
So, like, I did a lot of stuff, but I didn't do those. And I want to say, I don't know, there's so many. A lot of them towards the end of, like, that period of my life weren't good. It was just like, it's like I kind of needed to do it, which is the reason I stopped.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't just doing it for fun, which, like, happens a lot of the time. I don't know. What was the actual question again? Just a memorable moment?
It says, have you ever had a memorable experience using a drug, legal or otherwise?
Okay. Fuck. Okay, so this is the one that really comes and sticks out. I was, like, living with my girlfriend and her parents were away.
Yeah.
And so, and I was, like, selling drugs at the time.
Ooh.
Like weed and mushrooms and shit and other things. And we got, like, a group, like, maybe, like, 15 people, 15, 20 people.
Okay.
And we all got together, like, where we are, like, at our place. And then we're like, all right, we're going to go to this park. But before we go, everybody do all the drugs they have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so, like, I mean, I did, like, I think, like, an ecstasy pill or Molly.
Yeah.
You know? I did one of them. I fucking did, like, a bunch of mushrooms.
Okay.
And, like, I want to say, like, two tabs of acid. There was some acid in there.
Jeez.
And then only one of us had a car, right? And so the guy who had the car, obviously, like, for real, like, he waited until we went to the park. And so he was driving us all in shifts, right?
Right.
And the bad thing was, like, I was in, like, the first shift, and my girl was, like, in the last shift.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a whole lot of time to just do some irresponsible shit. Like, I was young. Mm-hmm. I was, like, teenager. Like, maybe, like, 19, maybe 20. Early 20s, okay. late teens.
Okay.
And so, like, as everyone's getting there, everyone's like, oh, like, what else do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know what K is, but it's, like, at the time, I had done a little bit, but I didn't really know a lot. And I did, like, maybe, like, it's like a drug you sniff. I did, like, a bump that was, like, the size of my fucking thumbnail. And, like, it's not cocaine in the sense that it gets you, like, rushy and, like, hyper and shit. Like, this is kind of fucking, like, it's a tranquilizer, essentially, you know?
Oh, it's one of those to kind of, like...
And so, like, it gives you, like, hallucinations and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I did that. By the time my fucking girlfriend got there, like, I couldn't walk on my own. Like, I was just like, and I was just, like, looking up at the sky, bro, and I'm, like, looking at the sky, and this is the most I've ever hallucinated in my life, with the mushrooms, the acid, the cake, and I'm, like, seeing, like, I'm seeing, like, fucking, I don't know, just shooting stars, like, all night, just fucking crazy stuff. But at the end, we go to, like, this abandoned house. It was in Brampton, and we go to this abandoned house, and, we're walking in, and everyone's like, stop. And someone, like, turns on, like, a light, maybe from their phone or something, and, like, the whole floor on, like, the main floor was, like, caved in. We were, like, a foot away from walking into this, like, giant hole that went into the basement.
Holy.
And so we stopped, and we're like, that's a bad idea, and kind of went down the stairs. We're exploring the parts that weren't all fucked up, and I went downstairs, and, like, and I'm all fucked up. Have you ever seen Blair Witch?
No.
Okay. No. Oh my god, this would be this would make more sense if you saw Blair Witch, but so in Blair Witch, they're, like, hunting for this, like, you know, evil spirit, and then they find this abandoned house in the woods, and like, there's this thing about, like, standing in the corner and like, oh, like you'll know if she's around.
Oh, okay.
Because like people won't look her in the face, and then it's like there's just this person standing in the corner of this abandoned house.
Oh wow.
And it's supposed to be like a found film kind of movie.
Okay.
And so like the person that's carrying the camera sees the person in the corner, and then all of a sudden they're like attacked, the camera drops.
Oh, it's one of those like kind of like one of those like paranormal movies type of thing.
Yes, actually, this was like, I would say maybe the movie that started, it was, it's old.
I've
and
heard
it started it, and it was at a time when like you couldn't just go on Google.
Yeah.
And like see who was in the movie on Wikipedia.
Nice.
Or like
nice.
IMDb. So like a lot of us were like, yo, this shit's real.
Yeah.
You know, so that is the kind of movie. Obviously, you know, at this point I knew it wasn't real, but I go in the basement and my boy's in the fucking corner and I'm like, what the fuck? And I just like, just straight out of the house, like by myself. I'm like,
crazy.
Oh, where are you going? It's like, no, man. No. Like, and so I want to say that is like,
wow.
That is the time. It terrified me, bro.
Definitely.
No, you know, the next day I was like, oh, that's funny, dude. But that night,
yeah.
At the time, I was like, I'm gonna fucking die right now. For real.
My goodness. Holy smokes. That was like a wild time, man.
Whew. Yeah, I would say if you're gonna do drugs, get them out when you're young.
Yeah.
It's easier to break addiction and get away from that shit when you're young, you know?
I know. When you get older,
people that start doing like hard drugs when they're like old.
Nah, man.
I mean,
break out of that.
Nah. Like I said, over 10 years, bro.
Damn.
So. But I was in it bad for a little bit, you know?
Yeah,
it took a bit.
Well, you know,
what about you?
No,
nothing,
man.
Like,
nothing like
you
that.
You smoke weed?
Occasionally.
Edibles?
No.
No?
No, man.
Yeah.
No. I don't like that.
You drinker?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I feel like I'm more of a drinker than a smoker. But, like, again, occasionally.
Yeah.
I just, like, really like, just focus on, like, you know, wrestling, health and all that stuff.
So, I figure.
Like, I kind of, like, don't, like, dive in too much with that. So, but, like, as far as, like, drinks, like, I like a little Jack Daniels, a little whiskey. Yeah, but occasionally.
I was expecting you to say like Ray and Nephew or something.
Huh?
I was expecting you to say like Ray and Nephew or something.
Nah, man. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big drinker either, man. Like, my foster dad was a Jamaican dude. And so, like, when I was a teenager, I fucking, you know, that was like before the drugs. Ah, I like need alcohol like, easily. And so I would just drink a lot of his fucking Ray and Nephew and Appleton. Now I can't drink rum like at all. I barely drink now. Like, I don't drink a lot.
Yeah.
But more of a weed guy.
Yeah, of course.
That's what I do. But yeah, dude.
Yeah,
so
man.
You can let these people know where to get at you, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, man. So you guys can follow me on Instagram at Jackson_Roy. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jackson_Roy. Follow the Rising Stars 2.0 page, where you can see all of the wrestlers that are coming up at Battle Arts. We've been training hard. We will be back eventually with a show, so tune in for that or look out for that. Follow Mikey at Mikey Truth on Instagram. You can also follow Derek Smith, another member of Dynasty, at D_wrestler. And also follow Sway Archer. Follow Sway Archer, another member of part of Dynasty, at Sway Archer, and also his apparel page, Sway Archer Apparel, so you can follow all that on Instagram. But yeah, and also follow the journey of Dynasty. We have a lot of stuff coming up. We're gonna be on a lot of shows, and look out for us because we're coming up.
Come out to one.
Come out to a Rising Star show. Come out to hey, you never know, an OTT show. We were just on OTT the other day, so just look out. Stay tuned to our Instagrams, our Twitters, and stay caught up.
Yeah, bro. Big things coming, brother.
Of course.
Like always, this podcast is brought to you by Neon Light District. Hit them up. Use code PILLOWTALK to save 10%. And by The Great North Apparel. Hit them up. Use code PILLOWTALK to save 30%. Thanks again for being here, brother.
Of course, of course.
Go get your tickets to Laughateria. Go get your tickets to the monthly show. Come out to some fucking wrestling. Thunder Rose is going to be here in September.
Yes, sir.
And I'll see you in 2 weeks, guys.
Peace the fuck out.
Peace.